on a holiday minute. If your Thanksgiving looks like mine and it involves furry gatherings and Kingster fairy orphan Thanksgiving meals, then you can probably play this right out loud where anybody can hear it. But if, like a lot of people, your Thanksgivings look like a house full of people and grandma's sitting right there at the table, make sure that you sneak off and put your headphones in. That's my disclaimer. Want to make sure that only people who are down for this listen to this. Sound good? Let's go.
All of my life, I've never fit, but I won't complain and I won't quit. I am enormous. Get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
Hi there, and welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I am sexual folklorist Dixie Delator, and this is episode 49. Our story this time is from somebody who heard about a world bubbling just below the surface. And all it took was being brave enough to talk to strangers to suddenly find himself right there in the middle of all the things he ever dreamed of. But before we get to that, I got some business to take care of. So if you listen to the Body Podcast, you know I'm pretty much a grateful girl. I'm pretty amazed that my life looks the way it does. As somebody who grew up in a town with a population of less than 300 or 400, where I was told, don't be who you are, I now have a life that's pretty incredible. I just got back a day or two ago from Brooklyn, where I did a collaboration show with the Risk Podcast. Those stories will be coming out really soon on their podcast and on my podcast. But as usually happens when I go to New York, I got stuck due to weather. So far, I've been stuck in Hurricane Sandy, Hurricane Florence. This time it was a snowstorm that shut down the whole East Coast. But luckily, I have a storytelling community who put me up an extra 2 or 3 days until Southwest could get me home. And when I got home, I realized my partner, Bent, was about to fly to Ohio to be with his family for Thanksgiving. He'd asked me if I wanted to go, and I knew I was just going to be getting back from travel, so I said no. So I realized I don't really have anybody to have Thanksgiving with. And I put it out on Facebook and said, hey, does anybody want to take in an orphan for Thanksgiving? And I got invited to Thanksgivings all over the country, y'all. Like, I got invited to a Kingster fairy gathering down in the Mission here in town. I got invited to one that we get to eat the meal in a hot tub. I got invited to a furry gathering. I think I'm going to try and make the furry gathering because I love furries. And a lot of other things. And I can't do all of them. But I'm just so astounded that people would take me in when I don't have my own gathering. So I'm feeling really grateful for what I have in my life today. One of the things that I love is when people tell me the stories of what's going on in their life. And if you guys listen, you probably know I have this rock star named Jeffrey Allen Hayes, and he's been on the podcast a couple of times. He tells on stage for me a lot. He's got miraculous stories, and he, like me, is totally in love with the fact that he gets to make his life look like what he wants his life to look like. So we've been having these terrible wildfires here in California, and I was gone in the snow, and people were saying, be glad you're stuck in the snow because you don't want to be here. The air quality is past super unhealthy. It's terrible. And Jeffrey has health problems, and so he went back to his native Canada to get away from the smoke and the fires. And this morning, while I was getting ready to record the podcast, he sent me a message, and he said, hey Dix, here are some fun facts from my Vancouver trip. One, there is a bar called Pump Jack where guys dance naked in a shower for a few minutes at a time. Turns out it's not professional go-go dancers who do it. It's just volunteers in the crowd. Guess who volunteered? Hint, it was me. It was me. And it was great. 2, on my first night out drinking, a 20-year-old zipped right up to me and immediately started pouring his heart out about his deepest kinks, which included simulating mantis sex. 3, while hiking on a trail, a random woman named Karen stopped me to ask if I was Jeffrey from Body Storytelling. You have made me an international superstar. 4, I probably should have led with this. Just as I was arriving at a touristy lookout point, a trolley full of furries pulled up. It was not even FurCon, they're just all local furries who felt like doing touristy stuff in full suit. There was a really hot bunny who let me grab his butt. Well, guess what? I love people's stories. I love Jeffrey's stories. Jeffrey has the same sense of adventure I do about life. And I'm just reeling from the fact that I got to live vicariously through that this morning. So thanks. Do you ever wonder why Body Storytelling has been a live show for almost 12 years and it never had a podcast till now? Well, it's pretty expensive. Costs a lot of money for the tech side of things, but more than anything, it costs a lot to have someone to edit and produce and take the stories from the live shows and put them out in a way that feels like you're there. That was important to me. I wanted you to feel like you were there at a show. So, those costs are now being covered by Patreon. Patreon.com/body is where you go to help us keep this thing going. I'm not able to do this myself, y'all. I do the story coaching, I do the hosting, I do the curation, I do the hosting of the podcast. But when it comes to putting it all together and making it sound great, not my skill set. And you can help me so that you can hear these stories wherever you are. So please go to patreon.com, patreon.com/body, you know how to spell body, and give it whatever level you can. Every single bit helps. I'd like to say thank you to the patrons who've already signed up to support the podcast, and I'm hoping you will join them too. Thanks so much for listening, and thanks for your support. Let's talk about our storyteller for this episode. He is someone who sat in the audience in Seattle and realized that he had a story too. The theme coming up was one that really spoke to him, so he sent me a pitch, and we worked on it. I was pretty amazed that this was his first time on stage, because he was backstage in the green room having panic attacks, till he stepped on stage and blew everyone away. Got a standing ovation, and that's the kind of thing that inspires you to keep going, right? He is an outdoorsman and a board game nerd, and a first-time body storyteller. This story is from Soren Berg.
Good to be here. So, I walk into this cavernous, dimly lit room. I have 2 condoms in my left hand and 4 paper towels in my right. And the room is full of mattresses and dozens of people, and they're all fucking. I walk past 2 people spooning quietly. The next mattress has 4 people, buck naked, and fucking like possessed jackrabbits. I get to an empty futon with my 3 compatriots, and I have to swallow a nervous laugh because I've never done anything like this before. So it all starts when I'm living in this old Westfalia Volkswagen van, traveling up and down the West Coast. I've just left Fresno, I'm headed for the Redwoods, and I get a call from my friend Ian. He says, "Hey man, you going to Burning Man?" He said, "Man, I wish I was, but everything I own is in this van. I don't even have a mailing address, I can't." He says, "Hey, I've got a camp. We've got an extra ticket, we have everything we need. It's called Shots for Shocks. We take a cattle prod and we shock people consensually, and then we give them some like hand-infused liquor that we make." And if you're wondering who would be in a camp like this, and your guess is a bunch of poly kinksters from Seattle, then you're exactly right. But that wasn't me. So I show up in Seattle, and 12 hours later, I'm joining a convoy of 20 people into electrical play and bondage, and I don't even know what else. And they put me in the truck because I can drive stick. And over the next 19 hours, I get to know some of them. For instance, Hellpup is, he looks sort of like a Breaking Bad era Bryan Cranston, but younger. And he is a pup. He's got a leash and a collar and a dog bowl and a hood, whole nine yards, but he can't smell anything, which is hilarious. Well, eventually we make it to the desert, and I've been here once before, so it's, you know, it's flat, it's dry, it's uncomfortably hot. I'm used to that. I'm a little bit yet less used to the pony play and the impact scenes going on around me. But the camp is so welcoming and so kind, and I just feel really, they're really friendly. One of those welcoming people is named Kim. Kim looks like Lucy Liu, but with a punk haircut and badass tattoos. And she is an experienced kinkster, and I am attracted to her immediately. So, midway through the week, I see Kim hanging out by the bikes, drinking from this comically large water bottle. And I'm like, oh, hey, good, staying hydrated. And I ask her where you're going. And she says, oh, I'm going to Orgy Dome. Haven't been yet this year. They've got air conditioning. She may have seen my eyes get a little wider because she, after a moment, said, you want to come? So, yeah. I grab some stuff, get on my bike. We roll out of camp four strong. Myself, Kim, Hellpup, and her partner, Walt, who looks like an adult Ron Weasley with a sardonic grin. And he is a sadist, which is something I didn't know actually existed outside of literotica short stories. So we're biking along, and I can't believe this is really happening. I say, I hear Orgy Dome is really strict about single guys. How many guys can one woman bring? And Kim just laughs and says, I dare them to tell me that I can't handle three guys at once. And that was that. So we get in, we get the spiel, we get our wristbands, which I wear for the rest of the week. And we have our own little talk about STD testing status and intentions, and everyone's got an intention. Walt is interested in maybe hooking up with a stranger, and Kim wants someone to come on her, and Hellpup likes to be degraded. And I'm like, I'm just happy to be here. So we walk into the room, and it's this big room, and it's divided into two sections, the don't bother me section and the maybe bother me section. We're in the maybe bother me section. And at first, a little awkward, but Walt breaks attention real quick by telling Hellpup to give him a blowjob and then berating him because Walt isn't getting hard, which is a little unfair because Walt is straight. But Hellpup is really embarrassed anyways, and he's loving it. So Kim is cracking jokes, and we're all laughing, and I say, is this normal for orgies? It seems like we're having the most fun of anyone in this room. But things do start getting hot and heavy. Kim's naked, Hellpup and I are feeling her all over, and Walt is telling us things like, oh, she likes having her nipples pinched and her hair pulled, but don't touch her clit yet. I'm like, okay. She's getting more and more worked up, and eventually I'm fingering her, and all of a sudden, bam, she orgasms and just squirts everywhere, all over my arm, all over the futon. And I did not see that coming. So I've got two fingers inside her, and my free hand is sort of groping around for those paper towels and trying to lay them down in a pattern that approximates the splash zone. But it's not really working. After things calm down a bit, I run naked to the entrance and I say, "Do you have any puppy pads or something a little bigger?" And they say no, and they hand me another 4 paper towels, which I already know is going to be woefully inadequate. So I go back and we keep fucking and it gets messy again. I'm like, well, I mean, she can't squirt that many times, right? Then I remember that water bottle. So we're looking around, like, wait, do we have shirts? Or then I spy Hill Pup's Camelback. Standard 1 liter Camelback. Camelbacks hold liquid. So we unscrew it and we put it under Kim and try and angle it to catch as much as we can. And I think problem solved. But then it starts getting full. Fortunately, Walt has a plan. He says, you know, pups clean up messes. This is your fault. So, Hill Pup glues his face to Kim's crotch and is just drinking for all he's worth, and I'm coming all over her, and we all collapse in this sweaty pile. And eventually, our breathing slows down. We put our clothes back on. We go out of the cold, air-conditioned room into the dusty street, and Walt hands Hill Pup his Camelback and says, "Here, this is for you." I'm starting to feel a little guilty. I turn to the others and I say, "Hey, they're gonna flip that mattress, right?" Kim shakes her head. She says, "Soren, we destroyed that mattress. That mattress will never be the same." And it's funny because after that week, after that explosive introduction to kink and sex positivity and the Pacific Northwest, I would never be the same either. Thank you.
So this is where I remind you that I'm a very good listener and that I would love to work with you on a story. Or maybe you just need somebody to listen to some things in your life that you can't tell just anybody. I just got through doing a story on stage in Brooklyn with Risk Podcast. I walked off stage understanding myself so much better than I did before I'd worked on that story. The same thing can happen for you. If it's a story that you're thinking about telling on a stage, if it's a story you're thinking about telling at a party, or maybe it's something that you just need to understand why you do the things you do. That's what I've been doing for a very long time, helping people find their story. I'd love to help you find yours. If you're interested in booking me, I'm Dixie@bodystorytelling.com. Send me an email. Let's make it happen. Thanks. You know, for me, it's not just about the story. I love songs about sex, kink, or gender, too. And it's really hard to find them. I love to find musical acts to play at my live shows, and it's tough to find people who have songs that are appropriate for body. Whenever I find something out there in the world, I love sharing it on the podcast. I recently came across this song and was kind of surprised at the content and the person who's singing this song. He is an actor and a comedian who is also a singer. And you may know him from movies like Django Unchained or the TV show In Living Color. I particularly liked the movie The Soloist, but he is a musician as well. This song is from Jamie Foxx, and this song is called Storm.
Showers, perhaps, either from the south, Valley of the Sun, wet, Flagstaff, wet. The chants are free, then we'll see what happens after that.
Got nothing but my t-shirt and boxers on, waiting for you to get home. It's been sunny outside all day, baby. I can't wait for it to storm. That thunder from down under surrounding me, coming down hard, pounding me.
The raindrops falling down all over my life. I want it soaking wet all over the bed. I want the rain to come. Let me feel the raindrops falling down. All over the bed, I want the rain to come.
The storm will move.
Lights out like a power outage. Cause of the lightning in your bed, spring showers. I can feel the mist every time we kiss. Just didn't know a downpour like this. There's a flash flood warning. Till we wake up in the morning. In the bay, the weatherman said, girl, the rain is coming. Let me feel the raindrops falling down all over my life. I want it soaking wet all over the bay. I want the rain to come. Let me feel the raindrops falling down all over my life.
All over me, baby.
Looking for scattered showers for about an hour. Rain on me tonight. Now let me love you.
It's all I wanna do.
Now let me kiss you. Now let me set you.
I just want you to
rain on me.
Rains, and there's more where that came from. Now, later tonight,
and in the morning before we see this storm pull out.
Excuse me? What was that? You'd love to come to a live body storytelling show. Oh, well, let me tell you what's coming up so you can go ahead and book your air travel or set the night aside or whatever it is you need to do so that I can see your shining face in person. My favorite thing. On December 6th in Seattle, the theme is the Naughty Bits. On December 13th, the theme is Happy Endings. That one's in San Francisco, and I got one spot left for both those shows. Will you fill my hole? I'd really love it if you would. After that, we've got shows coming up on January 10th in San Francisco, January 17th in Seattle. Speaking of Seattle, on January 17th, I have specially arranged that date because I am coming to Seattle for PodCon. I went to PodCon last year. It's a podcast conference, and I had a great time. So I'm going back for year two. If you're thinking about going to PodCon, let me know. I love meeting people who are fans of podcasts or other podcast producers. I'd love to meet you face to face. If you want to get tickets, you can go to bawdystorytelling.com. If you want to send me a pitch, you can send it to dixie@bawdystorytelling.com. Send me an email. Let's make it happen. Thanks.
Thank you.
I know this whole episode has been about saying thank you, but thanks for listening to this podcast. Takes a lot of work to make it, and it means a lot to know that you're making time in your schedule to listen. I hope that this weekend gives you time to get a day off work at the very least. Hopefully you have some downtime with friends and family, a chance to share your stories, maybe even have a little sex. That'd be nice. Do you know I've noticed that Thanksgiving is the number one hookup weekend of the year? It really is. So, sneak away from the family. I'm going to say thank you to the team that makes this podcast possible. Thank you to David Grossoff, my sound engineer, to Joe Moore, my video producer and archivist, to Dana Hanna, my project manager, to Marty Garcia, my podcast producer. I am sexual folklorist Dixie De La Torre, and you've been listening to the Body Storytelling Podcast. Here's a peek at what's next.
And I lean down next to Rob and look up into him. And so I stick my finger into Rob's ass.